Everybody, welcome. Really glad you're here. Welcome those of you over in East Hall, those of you tuning in. Welcome. I love the last line of that little video. Let's face it, we need each other. The Christian life was not designed to live in isolation. That's why it was designed to be lived in relationship. That's why when you read the New Testament, you can't find any indication of someone who is a follower of Jesus and tried to go it alone. They're always embedded in community. And that's why for us at a church this size, we're always looking for ways to get you connected with each other. One of the ways that we do that is through what we call community groups. And there are a lot of you who are part of a community group, and that's great. But there are a lot of you who aren't. And this is what I want to challenge you to do. We're going to start some community groups that are just 8 weeks long. It's kind of a trial community group to see if you connect with people, if you're not a part of a community group. I want to challenge you to do that. It's going to start September 10th on a Sunday night. You can sign up either online or out in the atrium. And you can do anything for 8 weeks. So go ahead and give it a try. Take that next step. Okay, second thing is I want to give you a Kingdom Assignment update. A little more than 2 months ago, we asked for volunteers. We got 275 people who volunteered, and they each got an envelope. Inside the envelope was a $100 bill and some instructions on how to, they're supposed to multiply it and then find a place to give it away. And that has just done so many great things. I was talking to my wife this past week, and I told her that the best thing that's happened is how it has energized people, not just the 275 people with envelopes, but all their friends. A bunch of us now are looking at the world through different lenses, looking at the world in a way that we can say, let's make an impact, let's figure it out. I was going for a walk with my wife in my neighborhood last Sunday evening and had some people come out of their house to tell me about their kingdom assignment. And I walked away just pumped, not just for them, but for the world that they were going to impact. So keep your eyes open. Keep praying. The kingdom of God comes through you out there. Don't forget. The kingdom of God comes through you out there. The next thing I wanted to, I know that Todd already told you this, but door number two, our visual arts ministry, going to Restoration, the juvenile detention or correction facility. That's just amazing, I think. They went there and they set up the Galatian stations and they took those kids through it and the guards too, and then 15 inmates, two guards, come to faith in Jesus. And the thing that struck me is what door number two, what those kids do is that they use what they love, then they serve. They love who they serve, and then they serve the one who loves them. And that's such a great formula for all of us. Use what you love to do something for Jesus. Love the ones that you serve, and then serve the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Last thing. Several months ago, we told you as a church we wanted to respond to the heroin epidemic that has just been the scourge of our area. So we started something called Restore. And wanted to give you just a quick update. Is we've been organizing and preparing and building a foundation for this ministry. And we've been looking for land, and we have found a beautiful piece of land, and we are this close to having it given to us, which is awesome. So keep praying for that, and I'll let you know when it happens, but we hope that that will happen and close in the next couple of weeks. And I tell you all that because the gospel in the church is the answer for what ails this world. Whether it's racism or injustice or heroin, every single thing. And here at Christ Community Chapel, we want to be part of the healing of our world, wherever it is torn. So thanks. All right. We are coming to the end of our series that we've been calling The Way of the Kingdom, based on the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' most famous sermon. Jesus is wrapping up the sermon, and he's going to wrap up the sermon talking about two gates, two trees, and two houses. And we're going to talk about the two gates this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read two verses. And it's verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. This is what Jesus says. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." This is God's word. Now, whenever I make a sermon, when I get to the end and I'm kind of wrapping it up, I always try to reiterate what I've been talking about. I never introduce something new at the end. And Jesus isn't introducing anything new here. When he talks about two gates, all during the sermon, he's been talking about two paths, two ways, two kinds of people. And here, he talks about two gates. Now, a gate is an entrance to like a road. A gate is to a road what a door is to a room. You go through the door into the room. So you go through the gate, onto the road, and the road ends at a destination. Those are three different things. And I tell you that because for years when I read this passage, I got an image in my head of like a country road, like a single-lane country road that went off for a long way in that direction. And then the other was like an eight-lane highway that went off like a wide highway in that direction. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that the gate is narrow, but the narrow gate leads to life and flourishing, which sounds and feels broad. And then he says there's a wide gate, and that wide gate ends to death and destruction, which seems very narrow and suffocating. So I want to give you a different image for you to think about, and it's the image of this funnel. That there's a narrow gate that leads to a broad place, and there's a broad gate or a wide gate that ends up being very, very narrow. All right, I'll go back to that in a little bit. But Jesus says there are two gates. Don't miss that. There are two gates and only two. And I tell you, don't miss that, because that is precisely the opposite of the most popular spiritual theory in America today. It's the opposite of the most popular spiritual theory in America today. The most popular spiritual theory in America today is that there are many roads and one destination. That there are many ways to get to God. We're all trying to find our own way, but we're all going to end up in the same spot. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says there are two gates and only two. There are two roads and only two. And there are two destinations, and they're completely different from each other. And when he says there are two, he means there are only two. There's not a third option, which means that every single person in here right now, you are walking through one of two gates, you are on one of two roads, and you're going to end up in one of two destinations. That's true of everyone in here, everyone sitting around you, and everyone out there, according to Jesus. And that's the exact opposite of what America believes. I was watching a movie with my wife this past week, and there was a scene in the movie where there's an uncle talking to his niece, and the uncle's sister and the niece's mom had died, and that's why they were together. And the niece is young, but they're both very bright. It's a movie called Gifted. And the scene, it's a very poignant scene. I think he's swinging her on a swing, and it's sunset, so it's dusk. And she says to him, "Hey, Frank, is there a God?" And her uncle says, "I don't know. Nobody knows if there's a God." And a little bit later on, she says, "What about Jesus?" And Frank says, "I like that guy." And then he says this, "But we're all going to end up at the same place. That's what you're asking, right? I want you to know we're all going to end up at the same place." Very comforting, very poignant. I found it interesting that Frank knew definitively that no one knew whether there was a God or not, but he also knew definitively that we were all going to end up at the same place. There's something ironic about that. But it was very comforting. It was very open-minded. It was very broad. It was very easy. And according to Jesus, it was utterly wrong. Utterly wrong. Three questions about the two gates that we're going to cover this morning. What do they look like? Where do they lead? And how do you know which gate you're going through? What do they look like? Where do they lead? How do you know which gate you're going through? According to Jesus, there are not three more important questions you could possibly answer. All right, so first, what do they look like? Since it's such a short passage, let me read it again. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." He says there's one gate that's wide and easy, and there's another gate that's narrow and hard. Narrow and hard. Narrow is hard. It's hard to be accused of being narrow. By the way, there is probably no stronger insult in our culture today than to be called narrow-minded, particularly when you're talking about spiritual things. I'll be talking to somebody about the gospel, about Christianity, and I'll get to what Jesus says about himself, particularly in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And the person I'm talking to will say, "Wait, you're saying that everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus is lost. So you're telling me that my friend, who's a really good guy, who's a very good Muslim, if he doesn't switch and believe in Jesus, then he is lost. That is so narrow. I cannot believe that. What I believe is broad, much broader than that." And at that point, I have to tell them, it's not me that says it's narrow. It's Jesus. Jesus is coming to the end of his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus Christ says there are two gates. One is wide and one is narrow. And the one that's wide goes to a particular destination, which is death and destruction. And the one that's narrow leads to life and to God. That's what Jesus says. And it's easy at that point to say, "Oh, I get it. Okay, I get it. The narrow road is filled by good people. You just have to, you know, it's good people like, and it doesn't matter kind of what you're good at. You could be a good Christian, you could be a good Buddhist, a good Muslim, or just a good person, and you're on that road that leads to God and to life. And the other road is filled with, you know, a bunch of party animals that are all singing AC/DC, "I'm on a highway to hell," and they're going there because that's where they want to go. I get it, right? But you have to remember, this is the end of a sermon. This isn't the beginning. This isn't something Jesus just started. Jesus has been contrasting throughout the sermon, beginning at chapter 5 through chapter 6, and now we're into chapter 7. He's been contrasting two different types of people. And they're not good and bad people. That's not what he's been contrasting. He's been saying that there are two different types of people, and the two different types of people are determined from the inside, not on the outside. What he says is, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, that you can be sitting next to somebody, and on the outside, what you do is exactly alike. You live exactly the same type of life, but you could be sitting next to somebody and that person is going through a different gate on a different road to a completely different destination. Chapter 6, right in the meat of his sermon, he says this: "When you give, don't give like this, give like this. When you pray, don't pray like this, pray like this. When you fast, don't fast like this, fast like this." Jesus doesn't say, "Woe to you because you don't give, you don't pray, you don't fast. You're going to hell." No. What he says is, you're giving and they're giving. You're praying and they're praying. You're fasting and they're fasting. The question is not, are you doing good things according to Jesus? The question is, why are you doing good things? And that's the key. What Jesus is saying is it matters how you enter into giving, how you enter into fasting, how you enter into praying, because that's how you enter, that's the gate. And that's the difference between Christianity and every other religion and system in the whole world. This is what I mean. Every other system in the whole world does it the same way. They say that there are different things that you're doing in life, and you want to do good things, you want to be a good person, you want to go to church, or you want to go to mosque or temple, or you want to go to, or you want to be a good husband, a good wife, a good friend. You just want to be a good person all the way around. And you pick up these things and you put them in a backpack. And then you go through life like this. You get to the end of your life and you die and you stand before God. And God says, "Okay, great, good to see you. Let me see your backpack." And you take off your backpack, and you hand it to God, and he unzips it, and he starts to check what you've done. And after he checks it, he determines your destination. Every single religion, other than Christianity, teaches this. Be a good Muslim, be a good Hindu, be a good Buddhist, be a good person. Everybody, there are tons and tons of people who believe the gate is wide that believe this. All you have to do, if you want to test me, go to work tomorrow, go to anybody and ask them, "Hey, listen," you can say, "My pastor asked me to ask you this. I don't want to, but my pastor told me to." All right? Say, "If there is a heaven and you're going to go there, tell me why. Tell me why God will let you in." You know what they'll say? "Well, I'm a pretty good person," backpack answer. "I go to church," backpack answer. If they say, "I belong to Christ Community Chapel," that's a backpack answer. "I go to mosque," backpack answer. "I pray 5 times a day, backpack answer. Everything is a backpack answer. Christianity is the only system in the world. Christianity is the only religion that has ever said, it's not your backpack that determines your destiny. It's not your good deeds. It's not what you do. Christianity is the only one. When Jesus says narrow, it's a narrow gate. I used to think that it was narrow, like this narrow. No, like, but it's not. I don't think so. I think it's narrow like this, like tiny, like a tunnel. So you have to get down like this, and then you have to get down lower. And then you have to crawl like that. Because the gate is so narrow, you can't get through with a backpack. And that's the difference. Listen, for some of you, what's keeping you from God is not your sin. It's that you are clinging to your backpack and you're counting on being a good person, and that's keeping you from going through the narrow gate. Christianity is described perfectly in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, which is backpack, so that no one may boast. See, what that's saying is that there are two different systems. The system of a backpack is saying you go to God and you say, here's my payment. I have bought my way into your heaven. You have to let me in. That's not grace. That's not a gift. The other system is you go in with no backpack and you say, listen, I don't have anything to commend myself, but my understanding is you sent your son to pay a price for me that I could not pay for myself, and I'm depending on that grace and that gift to get me in. That's Christianity. So one way is you control God with your good deeds. The other way is you're dependent on what God has done for you. Right? Totally different system. You got to understand that because this is really, really important. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, I'm a good person. If you say I'm a good person and that's what God is looking for, then there's no reason for Jesus. There's no place for Jesus. You can't say this either. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian and I count on Jesus. But if somebody lives a good life or they're a good Muslim or they're a good Buddhist and they bring their backpack to God, I think he's going to probably let them in too. That's not what the Bible says. It's two completely different systems. It's two gates. It's two roads. It's two destinations. That's what Jesus says. So you can't have it both ways. And that brings me to the second question. Where do they lead? Okay, Jesus says that there's a wide gate that leads to death and destruction, which is a very narrow place. It's a suffocating place. And then there's a narrow gate that leads to a broad place that's where there's life and joy and flourishing. And I told you that to use the image of a funnel, because what starts out narrow ends up broad. What starts out broad ends up narrow. And this is why it works like this. Like, let's start with the broad. The alternative to Christianity, on the surface, seems so tolerant and so open, but it doesn't end being tolerant and open. Because the alternative to Christianity, the only alternative to Christianity, is the backpack system, which is a self-justifying system. When I say self-justifying, what I mean is you will fill your backpack with what you feel makes you a good person and makes you acceptable to God. That makes perfect sense. So you stuff it with, like, let's say, whatever you believe about sexuality, whatever you believe about gender, whatever you believe about politics, whatever you believe about Trump, or whatever, you put that in your backpack, you zip it up and you say, this is what justifies me, it's what makes me okay, it's what's going to make me okay before God, if there is a God. If that's your system, it's very, very difficult to look at somebody else with a backpack full of the exact opposite stuff and say they're okay too. In fact, you will not say they're okay too. Right? Which is why our very, very tolerant society is so intolerant right now. You get that, right? Let's take the most tolerant, the people who think they're the most tolerant in America right now. Let's say the average Hollywood star who say, I am a tolerant person. I hate those who are intolerant. What they say, what they're saying is, I am absolutely tolerant of everybody whose backpack looks just like mine. Because you have to. There's no other way. If this is what justifies you, it doesn't make sense that the exact opposite would justify someone else. So what starts out seeming very, very tolerant ends up very, very intolerant, and we're going to see more and more of that. So how does the opposite work? How does something narrow become very broad and tolerant? The way that happens is that once you go, if you go through the tunnel, the narrow gate, and you squeeze through without a backpack, you get out on the other side. It's just you, and you look like everybody else, right? You look exactly like everybody else because you don't have a backpack where you're justifying yourself. So a real Christian cannot look down on anybody because you don't have a backpack where you're saying, this is what makes me a good person, and I'm a good person, and they're not. You can't do that. All you can say is, listen, you're filling your life with a backpack. You don't need it. Come on. You don't need it. Drop down, climb through. It's all good. That's what you say. So one of the things you got to be careful of, too, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for a while, you've gone through the narrow gate, all that, it's easy to eventually kind of get a little backpack going so that you look at people and you start looking down on them and their political views and whatever they're doing and whatever they're using to fill up their backpack, and you say, look at those people. I am so much better than they are. And then you're relying back on your backpack. Jesus says, that's not the way it works. This is why Jesus says, you can love your enemies. You can do good to those who persecute you. You can love people who are completely different than you are, because once you go through the narrow gate, there is nothing but you. And you look just like everybody else. That's why I was in that walk last Sunday night. I came around a house that they were just releasing their community group. And they came up to me and they were saying, we have the weirdest community group. They said that. They said, because we don't have anything in common except for Jesus, and it's awesome. You know what they're saying? We're gathering with people, and it's just us. They're completely different. They have different interests. They have different ideas, and it's all okay because we have become absolutely broad in our acceptance of people because we realize we don't have backpacks. And that leads me to the last one, which is, how do you know which gate you're going through? How do you know which gate you're going through? The wide gate is wide and full of people because you're born on the wide street. You're born there. Every once in a while, somebody will ask me, hey, what about people who are born Muslims? What about people who are born Hindus? What about people who are born Buddhists? And the interesting thing is, according to the Bible, no one is born a Christian. Let me say that again. According to the Bible, no one is born a Christian. Nobody ever has been born a Christian. You are born heading the wrong way. You are born trying to justify. You're born with a little tiny backpack, and you're trying to stuff it right from the beginning with things to make you okay, to justify yourself. And that's why Jesus, when he goes to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, one of the first things he tells Nicodemus is, you must be born again. So, the way to tell which gate you've gone through or you're going through is this. If you haven't had a radical reorientation, if you haven't ever had like a light bulb go off, like an epiphany, where you've turned around, the Bible would call it repenting, and you've turned to Jesus and said, I get it. I can't do anything good enough to justify myself. It's only in what you have done for me that justifies me before a holy God. And not only do I need to be forgiven of my sin, but I also have to be forgiven for all the good things I've done that I've used to try to control you, to make you bless me. So please forgive me of that. If you haven't had that happen to you, then you haven't gone through the narrow gate yet. So the question is not, are you a good person? That's the wrong question. The question is, what gate have you gone through? Are you still counting on good things? Are you still trying to fill your backpack? Are you still trying to do the things and check the boxes so that you can fill it, so that when you get to God, you can have him zip it open and check and see and then determine your destination? Or are you counting on Jesus and what he has done for you already to pay the price you could not pay? Listen, if you're here and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I don't know. I think I've been coming here a long time, but I think I'm still at the wide gate. Then the way to get through the narrow gate is to tell Jesus just this, just, Jesus, I repent. I get it. It's not, I can't do anything. I can't do enough to justify myself. You have to do it for me. So I count on you and your sacrifice to justify me before a holy God. And I believe that you are the only way to God and to life. And I crawl through the narrow way right now. Jesus is ending his most famous sermon the Sermon on the Mount. And he gets to the end and he says, there are two gates. There are two roads. There are two completely different destinations. Do you know which gate you have gone through? All of America, all of our culture will say, oh, no, it's a wide gate. It's a broad gate. It's based on what you do and whether you're a good person. Only Christianity says you have to crawl through a gate without a backpack, and it only fits you. And that's when you meet Jesus. Have you met him? I hope you have. Thy kingdom come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you, and I'm so, so grateful that you provided another way. Other than the tense life of trying to do so many good things that we finally get to you and hope beyond hope that somehow we've done enough to please you. Instead, you have sent your son Jesus to live the life we could not live and then exchange it for us, that his righteousness becomes our righteousness, that his death becomes our life. I pray that every single person here will be able to enter through the narrow gate so they can experience life and joy and flourishing with you. And I pray that you'll forgive us, for those of us who have crawled through that gate before but have finally put on little backpacks and we keep looking down on people. I pray that you would help us to love them in such a way that they see something different in us and ask us what happened so we can tell them about you. Thanks for your grace through your son, Jesus. Thanks for loving us so. We pray this in his name. Amen.